Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lab podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today, we review the seasons of Ferrari, Force India, Toro Rosso and Renault. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Ferber. Hello everyone and Happy New Year! It's 2017 now. We are on Sunday the 1st of January, and what better to enjoy the new 2017 year with a view back to 2016. And as I said, we are today reviewing the seasons of Ferrari, Force India, Toro Rosso and Renault. And yeah, let's start with Ferrari, and I already need to laugh. I mean,
strap yourselves in, folks. Yeah. Strap yourself in, we're for a ride here.
I mean, you can, if you need to choose one image or maybe 10 seconds of footage for the whole Ferrari season, you just need to look at Kimi Raikkonen, where he rolled down the hill in the USA, because the season was really, it was only going downhill for Ferrari, it seemed.
Yeah, just an awful season, really. We talk about other teams and we say how they've had bad seasons, and they'd love to have the season Ferrari just had.
Yeah, definitely.
But for Ferrari, it's just not, it's nowhere near enough what they had. I mean, what was it? 7 podiums? 8 podiums throughout the whole year?
I don't know. Not many.
Something ridiculous like that, anyway. For Ferrari, you know, F1's most successful team, in a year that they were expected to fight for the title, for both titles, they just ended up nowhere, absolutely nowhere at all. So you just gotta ask, where did it all go wrong for them?
Yeah, and where does all the money go? I mean, they're spending a lot. I guess it's is Red Bull spending more? Yeah, I think they're spending a little bit more. Mercedes, of course, spending the most, but closely followed by, all those two are closely followed by Ferrari. So where does the money go? I mean, whenever Mercedes made a mistake, whenever they slipped, it was Red Bull who picked up the pieces and won the race in Malaysia or in Spain, of course. So yeah, that's, I mean, in 2015, they won some races, and they really had high hopes. But yeah, as you said, it is a disappointment, and it really seemed like they focused a lot on the engine power, and they improved the engine quite a lot. I think even Mercedes admitted that they are now quite even in terms of the engine power. But yeah, in terms of the handling and the aerodynamics, I think even if you looked at Raikkonen or Vettel on the onboard shots, the car was always so nervous, and the car looked quite difficult to drive. Did you see that as well?
Yeah. I mean, I think just all aspects of the season was just negative and just poor. And I mean, you can back that up by Vettel, who was very, very animated on the radio this season. always shouting or complaining about something. So just a horrible season for Ferrari, and they'll be hoping that this year they can have a much, much better go at, well, at the very least for them, the title.
Yeah, and a statistic that you can interpret it in different ways. I think you tweeted it at FergalF1, you tweeted it yesterday or today, that Vettel was only overtaken once during the whole season, which was in Brazil from Verstappen. And you can see it one way, like, yeah, Vettel's really good at defending or something, but you can also see it this way. Maybe he was always so far back that there weren't any quicker cars behind him.
Yeah, possibly. I think Raikkonen only got 4 podiums, I think, this season, which, in a Ferrari is just not good enough. You know, he got four podiums, and yet he seemed to be matching Vettel throughout the season.
Yeah.
Kind of seems a bit, I think Vettel's podium sort of came earlier in the year, or his majority of them anyway came earlier in the year. So yeah, it's just a very, very poor season for Ferrari, and I do hope they can improve for this year, and that they can produce a race winning car for the good of the sport. I think nearly everyone else, except maybe those very select few at Mercedes and Red Bull, are hoping otherwise.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, you touched on it. Raikkonen really was on the same level as Vettel, and we didn't really see that in the last year in 2000, or in the year before, in 2015. I mean, how or what do you think is that down to? Is Kimi now, or is the handling of the car better for Kimi this season? Do you think Vettel is just overdriving the car at the moment, or do you just think both drivers are really at the top of the game?
Well, actually, I heard, didn't Ferrari change their suspension for the put in a push rod suspension? And I believe they changed to a push rod suspension this season, which mm-hmm. apparently Kimi is more suited to. So maybe that has some sort of factor in it. Maybe Vettel just got frustrated over the lack of pace. Who knows? It's I guess it's probably something only the people at Ferrari know. Maybe only Vettel and Raikkonen know. But yeah, for sure, Vettel or Raikkonen, sorry, to be a lot closer to Vettel. I mean, let's not doubt Vettel's talent. I mean, he's a four-time world champion.
Yeah.
He's one of the best out there. And yeah, Kimi Raikkonen, he had doubts over his future. They thought for this year that he mightn't, for 2017, he mightn't even be in the sport. But yeah, I mean, he's proved them wrong. And I think when he was announced that he would be staying on, people kind of went, "Oh, is that the right option?"
Yeah, I thought that.
Yeah, I did too, to be honest. And then, but I think how he went about the rest of the season, I think, has convinced me that he's worthy of the seat, and he still has something to prove at the team. So, but yeah, just coming back to the team as a overall, they were kind of just nowhere really this year. I mean, there was a couple of races where they were ahead of Red Bull, but I mean, winless. It's kind of, it feels a little bit like 2014 and the disappointment they had in 2014 yeah. when Alonso and Raikkonen were there. So, yeah, it's just not a nice season for them.
Well, to sum up then their season in Vettel's words, I think he would say, "Honestly, what are they doing there?"
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so let's move on with the teams, and let's come to the first midfield team. It's Force India. Of course, Force India, always a team that achieved a lot of things with a relatively small budget, and also a team always evolving. If you can remember back in, when did they enter the sport? I think they entered under Spyker, and it was an X. I don't know what team it was, actually, but... yeah, they made good progress from the back of the grid, really, to a midfield team. And now they are really the best midfield team at the moment with, of course, Sergio Perez scoring podiums and beating Williams this year, of course, which was a huge success for them. And yeah, I think they can be very proud with what they achieved this season also in terms of the development. I think they kept up with some of the even with some of the top teams in terms of development.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Force India, just, you know, really, really well done to them this year. I think they scored three podiums this season. Of course, none of them were Nico Hülkenberg. Seems forever he will avoid the podium, but yeah, they were consistently in the points, did enough to stay ahead of Williams, and they finished quite a long way ahead of Williams as well. So yeah, they've just been improving year by year, and it's not even in the hybrid era that they've been improving. it's literally been over since the turn of the decade. They've just been, going, getting better and better and better. And really, really well done to them. This year they had two great drivers. Next season they'll have two great drivers in Ocon. Well, look, yeah, more than likely it's going to be Ocon there. As long as, actually by now there's probably been an announcement, but and then Perez as well in the team. So they will be looking for a very, very solid season for 2017, and it's deserved as well because, like I said, through the decade they've just been steadily improving, and to beat a team like Williams is massive. I mean, Williams have been in the sport for a long, long, long time, so yeah, just really, really well done for them. But I just hope now that the 2017 rules doesn't.
Oh, Fergal, are you there?
Yeah.
I think we had some kind of a little bit of a connection issue right at the moment. What did you say about Force India?
I was just saying I hope the I lost my train of thought now. You know that. Oh yes.
Well,
I hope that the 2017 regulations don't throw them off balance and upset.
Yeah.
The work they've been building on over the past few years.
Yeah, definitely. And I think especially, or a huge part of their success came from just how they handled the tires. I think I read somewhere last season that they spent a lot of money on tire guys, or they hired the best Pirelli tire guy or something to help them with the tire temperatures and so on. And I mean, we really saw that when there were issues with tire temperatures, I think they were always quite good. And also in terms of tire wear, I think it was always, you only have to look back to, was it Russia? Where was it? No, that was 2015 where Kimi and Bottas crashed. Or was it this year?
No, that was last year.
That was, okay.
2015.
Okay. Yeah, but still, I think they did very well in terms of the tire wear as well.
They did, and I think that trait sort of comes naturally to a driver like Sergio Perez, who has been hailed for his ability to preserve his tires. Again, though, that's something that might not be possible in 2017 with these wider tires coming in. It's very possible that they won't be able to preserve the tires as well as they have done before. So we'll just see on that one, I guess. And I would love to see Force India go even further, but even if you look at the constructor standings for 2016, they finished fourth, but they were a long, long way off Ferrari in third. So just big gains to make there. But I think if they finish in fourth again next season, I think that would be a very successful season for them again next year.
Yep, but all in all, really a good year for them again. So let's move on to Toro Rosso, of course, the sister team of Red Bull. We talked about Red Bull in last week's episode, and they received a new driver after some races for free.
I don't know. I don't know what you want to say about that.
Nothing. Just wanted to throw this joke in. Well, of course. I think the biggest talking point we had about Toro Rosso this season, performance wise, was their 2015 Ferrari engine. I mean, one race where it really stood out to me, which isn't necessarily the race that you would expect it, was in Singapore, where they had those helicopter shots, and you could really see that the Toro Rosso was accelerating out of the corners, and then somehow in the three quarters of the straight, somehow they lost all the speed, and it just seemed like they were standing still and all the other cars were passing by. I think it was fighting with a McLaren even, so not even a very powerful engine against that. And yeah, so putting that in perspective, that they had a year old engine, I just wonder really, how good was their chassis actually?
Yeah, it must be very good. I mean, they've always been a team that's have produced a good chassis, and that could be. I mean, I wouldn't write Toro Rosso off completely for next year. I think they could have a pretty successful year next year. I mean, Carlos Sainz was even saying that there's a possibility that they can target third next year, which is kind of hard to believe, but. Yeah. But I mean, they definitely do. I think, well, they'll have a more successful season than they did this year, I think, at the very least, because they'll be getting their Renault engine. Yeah.
By the way, will it be a Renault engine, or will it also be a Tag Heuer engine?
It hasn't been announced yet. And if you actually look at the provisional driver entry list for next season. It says all the engines are announced except Toro Rosso, because it will be a Renault engine, but they don't know whether it's going to be branded Renault or Tag Heuer yet. So, yeah, that's a bit strange, I guess. But yeah, I think for the chassis or for the engine that they had a pretty good season, I think. Carlos Sainz especially. You know, what an exciting driver he is. I think what they scored 63 points overall in the constructor standings, which is very, very good result for them. And like I said, especially with that year old engine, their chassis must be very, very good. So yeah, good season for them.
Yeah, good season for them. And also, as you said, Carlos Sainz, a very good driver. Shame for him, really, that basically the Red Bull seats are all locked at the moment and basically seem to be locked for a long time.
Yeah, it does. I mean, his contract runs out at the end of 2018. And I think there'll be a lot of teams around that will want to sign him up. So I think he will leave the team at the end of 2017, but to where, I'm not entirely sure yet.
Yeah, especially if you think back when Verstappen was still in the team, he was pretty even compared to Verstappen, and we all see now what Verstappen can do in a Red Bull. So, yeah, but all in all, very good season for the circumstances they had with the year-old Ferrari engine, of course. A good season, we could call it, for them. But yeah, let's move on with the Renault team. Nothing with Tag Heuer there, and yeah, the yellow beast, as they call it,
the banana
car. Yeah, yeah. Actually, yeah, that picture of Kevin Magnussen in Australia, where he was running around in his yellow overall
looked like a banana peeling.
Was quite funny, but yeah, I think that was the only thing that was really funny about their season, because all in all it was a shocking and horrible season. I mean, Renault picked up the pieces from last year, and I think they didn't really do any development for 2016 in 2015, so they had to live with what they had, and basically it seems like it didn't even improve much or put in any work in the development of the 2016 car. So really hard work for Kevin Magnussen and Julian Palmer, I guess, to drive around with a car that pretty much was a year old car or something.
Yeah, it was pretty much based off the 2015 Lotus, which in itself was a terrible car. Although it did get a podium miraculously at Spa.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, what, they only finished in the points three times, I think, this year, in Russia, Singapore and Malaysia. And Singapore and Malaysia were just two 10th place finishes. So yeah, if it wasn't for that seventh spot, they would have been behind Sauber. If it wasn't for that seventh spot in Russia, they would have been behind Sauber. So yeah, it's overall it's been a tough season for them. Again, I think they do have potential to improve next year. You know, Renault, the benefit that they have to the teams around them is they have a much, much bigger budget, and they can develop so much more because they're a works team. They, of course, have an exciting driver in Nico Hülkenberg joining them. So I think 2017 can only bring... Well, yeah, surely you can only bring better things yeah. after their awful 2016 season. It seemed to get worse and worse as they went along. I think
yeah.
they started off kind of drifting outside the points, and then they just went further down the order. So yeah, it's been a disappointing season for Renault. But they will improve definitely. I mean, they're predicting in 4 or 5 years that they'll be winning world championships, which I don't doubt. I mean, if you look, only 10 years ago they were winning championships. So, yeah, very, very disappointing season, but definitely they will improve next year.
Yeah, just to see how bad the season was. Basically, if you watch the race and somebody would have asked you, who do you think will come last? I think there would be three choices, either Manor, Sauber, or Renault. So I think those were really the three teams that struggled the most this season.
Yeah, they were effectively the backmarkers this year. You know, you could classify them three as the backmarkers, and everyone like Haas, Toro Rosso, McLaren, Williams, Force India were all midfield teams.
Yeah.
That's generally how it, you know, how it looks really, especially looking at the constructors' points table. It looks like that. So yeah, and Renault, I mean, a team like Renault shouldn't be a backmarker team.
Not at all.
So, and I don't think they will be next season. They'll probably be a midfield team scoring points here and there, you know. So yeah, I think, yeah, like I said, a disappointing season. But of course they're getting Nico Hülkenberg next year. Although I'd be very surprised if he got that podium next year. yeah, who knows? We'll wait and see.
Okay, so that's all the teams in 2016 done, or all team reviews for 2016 done. Really the teams that stood out were really Mercedes again with a good year, Red Bull a very good year, Haas of course in their first year scoring some good points, and also as we talked about the rather disappointing seasons of Renault and Sauber. So yeah, thank you very much for listening to our review, and we will be back with more recent news in the next week. So thank you very much and see you then. Wherever you are listening, we would really appreciate your feedback by commenting or rating the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.